Welcome to the show. On today's episode, we have Vince Pitstick. He's been in the health and wellness field for over 15 years, beginning as a personal trainer and competition lifestyle nutrition coach, and now working as a functional medicine consultant. He has helped hundreds of physicians in the Midwest bring natural-based programs to their office with the latest in natural technology and coaching to help their patients, specializing in the areas of gut health, autoimmunity, blood sugars, weight management, fibromyalgia, and PCOS. Vince has helped develop programs that have transformed thousands of lives across the world. In today's episode, we will be going over my Dutch test, and it's going to give you a whole bunch of really insightful tips on why women get hormonal imbalances and throughout the stages in their life, what can happen and what can change, whether it's from birth control or pills or stress or all these other factors. So this is a really great episode, and I really want everyone to listen to Vince. And after you listen to this episode, please consume all his other content because he has some great informative videos out there that everyone should just watch. If you have hormones, you need to watch. And also, I would like to possibly get you to go to the website to see a copy of my Dutch test so that you can follow along and see what he's talking about, so that if in the future you decide, and I highly recommend you do, to get your own Dutch test, then you would be able to base off what he's saying about mine, how you're doing. So that is a great tip, and please check it out. I'm going to have it in the show notes on my blog post corresponding to this episode, and you can check that out at katkatv.com. Welcome to the Katkatibi podcast, your source for all things health, happiness, and beauty. So, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here.
First, I have been following you for a long time. I think I heard about you on another podcast where you were going over somebody else's Dutch test. And even though I'm totally not like her, I thought it was the most interesting thing I've ever heard. So I wanted to go over mine and ask you some other questions.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead. Let's break it down. I think first it might be beneficial for your listeners to understand what a Dutch test is. And when we get into zooming out to zoom back in, when you look at Dutch Completes, the one that we have, what is a Dutch test? When you're looking at urinary metabolites to track serum hormones, and it's an important feature because just tracking the hormone itself leaves a really incomplete picture. So if I just look at, let's say, a serum, which is a blood level of estradiol, one, if I'm only getting one estrogen when there's seven, at least researched ones, then I'm looking at a very small picture. But two, actually by analyzing the metabolites and where they go, we're understanding how different factors impact your total overall hormone levels and where the imbalances are coming from in a way that we've never been able to as practitioners before. Urinary collection of hormones has actually been in the field of science and research for over 30 years. It's well documented. Many people won't know about it because it's not what insurance companies pay for, nor is it something that has been, it's in the science and research division, but it is not in the medical colleges and in your normal continuing ed, upper graduate like programming that you would ever run into as a practitioner. So it would be something that you would have to go outside additional education to get. And so it's a blend of looking at all of your stress hormones, sex hormones, and some of your neurotransmitter precursors, and how do they all come together to create many of the symptoms that most people feel on a day-to-day basis. It's superior in so many ways to blood work and allows us to really look at the unique complexity of a woman where serum blood work does not really do. Although serum has its benefits, I don't mean to downplay it, its importance in other areas. But when it comes down to what women's issues usually are, it's a hormonal chaos, and things are not even and sensitive and in alignment. And just like an alignment on a car, sometimes if you just look at some base numbers in blood work, you're not going to figure out how to fine tune something back into a smooth transition, smooth rotating system. So that's why we look at Dutch tests. And right now I've got Katrina's Dutch test, and we're going to talk a little bit about her symptoms, and then I'll be able to translate her symptoms to many of the things that we're seeing in the Dutch test. So I think that hopefully that helps cue up your listeners.
Yeah. And also I wanted to say there are some doctors that I found online, especially that say the Dutch test is garbage, don't go for it, that I can tell what my patients have just by looking at them. And what do you have to say about that?
Yeah. Most physicians that say that are unwilling to stay a student. And when that happens, medicine moves at the speed of light. And if you don't stay a student, you become a dinosaur, just like the information you read in college back in 1982, which is exactly why we still use 1952 to 1960 research on cholesterol to decide whether you're going to have a heart attack or stroke or not. But there's been almost 80 years of additional resources that changed the game in cardiovascular health, hormone health, and we just refuse as an industry to move forward at a fast enough pace. And then you, the individual, suffer from it. Looking at somebody doesn't tell you almost anything. Now, as somebody who changes his physiques, if you're someone who does physique enhancement programming like I do, and I review cases for coaches all over the world, a part of my new mentor program is I probably mentor over 100 coaches in about 20 different countries. And they bring me all their case studies. So I probably see about 300 case studies a week, not just my own clients. And I can tell you that, yes, there are certain things I can imply by looking at photos. But the reality is, I don't know if I'm looking at a fossil or if I'm looking at what currently is going on, because fat and water will respond to things earlier in your life that are no longer in your system. Like, you can gain a lot of fat in your hips being estrogen dominant, but then estrogen can go away. And guess what's still there? The fat. It doesn't just go in and out with the tide with the estrogen. It's not that simple. So the idea that I'm just going to, that's what I mean by a fossil. It's evidence that there was imbalance, but where are we at now? And so the idea that I can just look at somebody and tell is totally irrational. It is the reason we have injured so many more women. Women are the most injured in functional medicine, from doctors to nurse practitioners to health coaches to prep coaches, because we refuse to recognize their hormonal complexity and go the distance in our education and training and all the way down into how we build our practice and our coaching. And because we won't do that, women suffer. And that's what's happening. So when you have ignorance like that, I understand why they might say some of the things they do, but it's ignorance. It's ignorance and a lack of education.
So I wanted to tell you a little bit about my symptoms first. When I was young, very lean, muscular without trying. I had probably very high testosterone because I had acne and no breast, flat hair, but some button hips, but still very lean and muscular without anything. I could eat a loaf of bread a day and bloat for a few minutes, and then the next day it was gone.
What she's describing right there, let's stop right there to help people track history. What she's describing right there is what happens to about 1 in 4, 1 in 5 women in the United States, is that in early pubescent period, the way they developed, and it can be for a couple reasons. Some is genetics, some is diet, some is trauma for some people even. Some of it's athletics. Most women, where she would fall is what's called androgen dominant, meaning that her body's hormonal layout didn't rest heavy in progesterone. It didn't rest heavy in testosterone, although it could have, but we're going to separate testosterone and androgens, by the way. So androgens, I'll explain in a minute, but estrogen wasn't the stronghold for her. Really lean, muscle without trying too hard, cystic acne, maybe irregular period, usually a little bit more hair, whether it's peach fuzz or darker in certain areas. That is an androgen dominant female. Now, androgen dominance doesn't necessarily mean disease at the time. It just means that the pool of your hormone generally stays in the androgen ballpark. Androgens are responsible also for energy and focus, immune function. So you probably didn't get sick that often, or maybe you did at first, but then later on don't. And then it's also responsible for building muscle. And androgens, when cortisol is under control, keep you very lean. Later on, androgens with out of control cortisol will leave you swollen and can't lose weight.
Yes. So then after maybe 18 or so, I went on the birth control pill. Everything was still okay. My periods before were very painful, extremely heavy, and it stops your period basically. So
I didn't have to deal with that part.
Well, which one again? I'm sorry. Which one did you go on?
I went on a bunch of them, but I think eventually I settled on either Yaz or Yasmin.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything was fine. And then around 26 or so, my husband was studying acupuncture and functional medicine. He's like, you have to get off the birth control pill. And I got off the birth control pill and immediately for the first time in my entire life, I blew up. Yes. And fluid. Gross. And I've been trying to deal with it ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a very common phenomena. And again, female athletes, people who you've got, even just your people pleasers, they're high level students. There's androgens have a tendency not to make you hungry too. Like you think in your past, you probably pigged. And the thing that you probably don't recognize when we do histories is women tend to say that. Women will say, oh, I overeat. But what they're actually saying is I binge in certain meals. Because if you look at a timeline of a woman's history, particularly when she starts getting into high school and she starts experiencing, you know, and even earlier, late grade school now, because women are developing so much faster, they begin to experience body consciousness. And now you're either the stress of high school or the stress of sports, that you'll see that they don't eat at all. Usually breakfast is out. Maybe they get something in at lunch, snack possibly, and then nothing even through sports until they get home, and then they cram up 5 slices of pizza. If you actually did the calories on that for a growing girl, that's not adequate. Not to mention the nourishment's poor. That happens to androgen-based women because androgens are excitatory. So that type of person usually becomes a bit of a worrier later, busybody, yes, man. There's just the behavioral tendencies that go along with each one of these. And some of it has to do with neurotransmitters, sex hormones, genetics, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to break all that down to specifics. I'm just giving you the trends. And so the reason that everything I share is important is cortisol is already going to be high in these people and they don't know it, but your body's still sensitive to it at the time. Androgens are high, and you either through a genetic pathway issue or some other things, maybe staying too lean, you weren't converting your androgens. Most androgens convert into estrogen. So because that wasn't happening and you were stressed out and the way you were eating and you didn't know, someone didn't get a hold of you and teach you how to fix that at the time, they just said, hey, no problem, put you on a birth control. So Yaz and then other oral birth controls, the whole design of them essentially is ethanol estradiol. It's a synthetic estrogen mixed with a low dose synthetic progestin. It could be a norgestimate, 11-agestrel, lots of different progestin based birth control that are included in a pill version. And what they're essentially doing is they're almost leaving you a little estrogen dominant, most of them. And then but you don't have any estrogen, so it gives you some. So that's why things stayed cool for a minute. And it helps bring down androgens. So then you keep going through life, never changing some of the behavioral things that were like part of the aggravant to the situation. You got used to the metabolic rate that you had, your hormones were being artificially propped up. That can actually cause pill-induced PCOS. We see that very often. And then again, we don't even know where your cortisol is at. You're not looking at any of these things because the pill's doing what it's supposed to do. But the minute this, and shout out to all the holistic practitioners out there, people that are like starting to wake up to the idea that birth controls, I hate to get into this topic, but any medicine, we're going to leave it at that, any medicine, new medicines that just came out, old medicines that have been around, they all have a side effect. There's no such thing as a miracle pill. They all have side effects. So whenever we label something as the easy pill or it's just, hey, look at all the benefits, and then no one's discussing the negatives, when there isn't a pro-con conversation happening at the practitioner-patient level saying, hey, here's the pros, here's the cons, everyone's just like pro, and then everyone wants to ignore the net negative effect that's happening in infertility and all the other issues. Now, for the average woman, birth control can be beneficial. Don't get me wrong, for a lot of reasons. I'm not here to say that they're bad. They're a tool. Unfortunately, though, when you don't fix some of the issues and you use it as an easy button, oh, slap it in this girl to take care of her problems and everything's going to be okay. No, what happened was you took an imbalance and you shoved it down the road. And whenever you trade the now for later, that cost is much greater later on. We see this in everything. So the problem is that the pill was in there, probably other aggravating some things. We could go back and forth whether it was the right answer for you at the time. You're a young girl who wants to deal with those. But now you get to an age where you might have one of a baby and all kinds of other things going on. I can see your age here. I don't know if you've shared that with them. You're at a point where you might, there might be a lot of things you want to do, and you're going to have a lot of, there's a lot of issues of residual side effects. So when you pull the birth control out, now artificially your estrogen and progesterone was being propped up. Your cortisol stress patterns are still going to be the same because we tend to pattern. They just get worse as we get older. Actually, they don't get better for most people unless they go through a lot of work through lifestyle change and psychological, whether it's therapy or learning how to deal with mindset, meditation, spiritual work, whatever. If you don't learn how to control the beast and you pull a birth control out on somebody who's already an androgen dominant female, this is what happens every time. So shout out to all the holistic practitioners who like are learning about birth controls, but just straight pulling it out, terrible idea for somebody that's been on one for longer than 7 years. You have to have an action plan. And these doctors that just pull birth controls out, switch them up, do all this stuff. If you look at the trend of birthing age females on birth control, 98% of this last generation X or whatever, we'll go from there. There's another's, but I have been on some form of birth control. And then if you look at the rates of certain diseases like infertility, obesity, autoimmune disorders, PCOS, PCOS is the fastest growing female condition in the United States. How is that possible when 98% of women have at least at some point during their birthing age years been on birth control? How is that possible? It's because it's not defending against it all the time. It's adding to it. And there's not enough progressive long-term studies being done to look at these things because everyone looks at birth control like a miracle. So no one wants to look, right? Nor does the industry, because it means that men are going to have to come up with a solution. And men have constantly slowed and dragged their feet in looking for a male-based birth control. It's one of the greatest sexism issues of our time, and nobody talks about it because we're so busy running around dealing with everything else. But women carry the burden and no one talks about it. No one talks about it. Of course they don't. But it has a negative effect on women. You can manipulate men's hormones with way less side effect and consequence than women. But we don't do shit about it. And it's incredible to me that nobody recognizes that problem. Nobody says anything. We talk about some other things that don't affect almost half the 1% of the population. We're all worried about that. 51% of the population. We don't want to talk about it. Like, I just can't. It's beyond me. Anyway, so that's like your journey of how we get to this place where birth control comes about and then I just swell up like a fish, a puffer fish, right?
Yeah. So I did have a child about 8 years ago. I was fine. I didn't have any infertility, thank God, but I did have toxemia towards the end. I don't know if that's related to anything or just something that happened randomly.
It's possible. A couple things could happen there.
Yeah. And since then, I've just been blowing up progressively despite everything. And I've had many people on my podcast, obesity doctors, other doctors that specialize in PCOS. I've had nutritionists and so many things. And I'll always go, okay, I'll do what you say for a couple, like 6-7 months, a year even. And it's more restrictive. And I feel like every time I stop,
you get worse.
It's not getting better. And then when I stop doing what they're saying, I blow up even more.
Right. So exactly. And the whole thing is, the reason, and this is, I don't know how this is going to sound and I don't care. The reason that I'm in the best in the world at this and why I built the largest health coaching company in the United States, globally trained hundreds of practitioners, is because we decided that the data wasn't sufficient, that we're looking at a subset of females not adequately represented in research or in clinical data. They're going off medical research. You can't, are you somebody that works out?
Not at this moment, but I was doing Orange Theory sometimes.
Someone who's always been fit and or worked out or ate healthy, things like that.
I want to say always, but no.
But for the most part, yes. You're saying I want to say always. I'm not talking about 3 month increments in between. Generally in your life, if you lean that way. Yes. Okay. So you already aren't in the research. Do you know that 98% of research done on females don't eat clean and don't work out? So how the hell is anyone going to be able to tell you how your body's going to respond to something that when they're looking at data of a population that you don't represent? This is the problem. This is what I mean about what's going on in the industry. The lack of evidence and education based on other demographics, other lifestyle choices, because the things that you do to your body over time make your body adapt. You can't just pull 9,000 women into a clinical trial on something and not know the lifestyles that got them where they're at. Let me give you an example of what two women could have high glucose levels. Okay. Maybe they're fasting glucose when they wake up in the mornings, 100. Okay. One woman sat around and ate bad and never worked out. Okay. That's classical hyperglycemia. Non-classical hyperglycemia is women who overtrain, stress, worry, undereat, have some residual inflammation from stress, not from food. So if anything, they undereat, those same women have the same issue. If you put those same women in a research study, you're not going to solve the problem because they got the problem for two different reasons. How you got the problem is how you get out of the problem. You can't offer the same solution. So when you talk to doctors and you talk to whoever, they're thinking and dealing with medical, standard clinical, population-based reasons why those people gain where they're at. And the problem is you've got to change the paradigm altogether. So for the last 15 years, my team of skilled dietitians has done its own in-office clinical evidence. We have case studied over 5,000 cases. Some of that we plan to take public later, but we're not a research company. We're a doer, right? So we heal people. That's what we do. And I learned that everything that they taught you, if you do it upside down, the exact opposite, because how you got the condition is an exact opposite way as how they think you got it, you'll actually be more likely to have a better benefit. Because what you're doing right now is like, excuse my terminology, but like a Chinese finger trap. I don't know if you've ever had one. When you stick your fingers in it, the whole trick of it is the harder that you struggle, the tighter it gets. And that's what you're doing right now using other, well, even if they'll think it's not conventional, we're going to call it conventional schools of thought. Any allopathic school of thought on PCOS is or androgen issues, pill-induced reverse metabolic issues, there's no data yet. We're doing the data now because it exists, but they haven't put 2,200 of you together in a case study. Hasn't happened. Or in a double-blind placebo-controlled study. You are not adequately represented in the population. So if you continue to search where there's some big data to give you the evidence that you're looking for, you're not going to find it. And that's where most people who sit in the functional gray exist. They're lost. All conventional means are on populations of people that are not, that they don't represent. So they get put into treatments that's like fitting you in a size 7 shoe when you're a 9. Does this make sense? Right? So
yes.
That's why nothing you've done in the past works. We have a 92% rate success rate for PCO or androgen-related issue, pill-related issues, which is 5 times what any of the industry is. The only difference is we're a health coaching company. We deliver it differently. And that's how you got to do it. You can't with these kind of programs, like give them something, say, see in 3 months or give them, and it has to be a combination. So I see already, if we look at your protocol, there's a couple things going on your Dutch test. There's a couple of things where I'm going to recommend. In functional, you do foundational, like nutrition kind of stuff, but you also do the physique enhancement. So you're changing the training and how you do it. And you got to manipulate every tool, training, nutrition, stress management, lifestyle factors, rest, supplementation, all of it is a tool that needs to be dialed differently based on the person's condition. A doctor doesn't have all those tools. A dietitian doesn't have all those tools. PCOS advocate doesn't have all those tools. You need all of those tools. That's what I've learned, because they all have to be changed in order to, they got to get in sync. It's like growing a lawn. A lawn has 7 factors that if you do them all correctly, your lawn will turn out amazing. You could have 6 of them, but not get one, and you still have a shitty lawn. Excuse my French. So then you're confused about what did I do and what did I do wrong, because the answer came out the same no matter what. This is the problem. That's why every single tool that a practitioner has at their side, they have to use all of them, and they can't be limited to one thing. You can't have a doctor that just does birth control or medication. You can't have a dietitian who only does food. You can't have a PCOS advocate that only uses certain stress management tools and their standardized diet and a couple supplements. It doesn't work. Not long. I call PCOS because it's androgen-related conditions.
And I also wanted to say that I am now on spironolactone to lower my testosterone, 25 or whatever it is. And
well, let's be clear. It's not for your testosterone.
It's not?
No. It's for your androgen.
It did work with the acne.
Yeah, that's androgens. That's not testosterone. Women have a miscommunication. Testosterone helps you hold muscle. It's good for sex drive, vitality, memory, energy, those things. Androstenedione and its metabolites, androsterone and eicholanolone, are responsible for the cystic acne. So here's the deal. You just said it. So here's the caveat for all your listeners at home. Nutrition Dynamic has a medical team now, and you get seen virtually. So the doctor comes in and follows our protocols. We work with them. They're actually part of our team. So like we would have the doctor that would give you the prescription that knows we're doing what we need to do, and then would get you off or give you anything else you need while you're here. That's within reason. So that your doctor, your nutritionist, and your system are all in, they're talking all the time. Everyone's in congruency, and because your program is going to change over time. And if you got to go deal with three different doctors as things change to try to change things, it's a nightmare. In cases like yours, you need a dietitian, you need like a lifestyle coach, you need a doctor. That's the whole problem, is that when you go to any one of those, it's not going to work. You got to have all of them, and they got to be talking together. That's why we're different, because I see the problems. I see the challenges. So even people that are well-mannered that say, oh, I know how to deal with PCOS. If you don't have access to the medical, the labs, the tools immediately to run congruently with your care, you're not going to be as effective. For example, for your case, 100%, we would start with some spironolactone to reduce the pressure that your androsterone, you are 5-alpha dominant. That's always means that some things with hair, acne, things like that are going to come up, although you can build muscle. Problem is, androgens will leave your blood serum glucose high. Whether you know it or not, if you go and check your glucose, if you know how to use a monitor, and then I'm not talking about a 12-hour fasted, there's no point in checking. That's looking for disease. If your sugars are still way high 12 hours fasted, you got a bigger problem. I'm talking about 2 hours after you eat food in what's called a 2-hour postprandial. That reflects more of how much insulin is being released, how much inflammation is in the system, and how well your body can reestablish glucose balance after it consumes a meal. That's what you want to know, because that's what defines dysfunction, not 12 hours. 12 hours way past our window to know, are you going to gain weight from this food? Are you healthy? Are you breaking down the food and utilizing it correctly? What's going on? Because androgens raise blood sugars. So does cortisol. So if you don't get the androgen-cortisol connection down, your blood sugars will still be anywhere in the neighborhood of 2-hour postprandial of 95 to 105. And that's not cutting it. You're never going to switch from glycolysis, burning sugar, into lipolysis. And that's what happens. Inflammation from high androgens, high cortisol, elevated glucose levels. You keep running on sugar. You don't cut into your fat, even in a caloric deficit. And in fact, when you do, if you do conventional methods, you just stress the body out more. And more stress does what? Raises your glucose. That's why you haven't been able to get anywhere. You can't, your body's in a hormonal storm, and you're trying to bridge the gap like you did with your younger body, from converting from a sugar burning state to either reducing calories or working out or using certain things, to then moving into a fat burning state, and your body won't do it anymore. And you're stuck and you're swollen. That's what's happening. Has anybody told you that before?
Not really. No, actually none.
Yeah, that's right.
It's always like cut calories, exercise more, do HIIT, do this.
All of that's wrong. All of that's based on obesity research. You are not an obese person. That's obesity research. That's so old. That's 1930s. This is what I'm saying. We're still talking about research from 1930. Completely intelligent people are just assuming when they look at you that they're thinking that you have you're lazy. Oh, just do more. What do you mean? This type of person's already doing too much. You don't even get it. They don't even understand. So they look at, if you cut your calories back, they're looking at the law of thermodynamics. They're forgetting. Law of thermodynamics talks about the change of net energy of a system has to do with heat transfer, heat emission, and activity of the system, meaning energy burn of the system. People in this position no longer release additional heat. You'll notice that about you. You probably don't sweat too much when you work out. Your thermogenic effect of food, your thermogenic effect thermogenic effect of food, so TEF. Then you've got your thermogenic effect of activity. Right? Those are the first two things to go down when this is happening. Your metabolism isn't working, because when you stay too low a calorie for too long, your body adjusts to that. It's like your eyes to light. Go sit in a dark room for 6 hours, then turn the light on, you're fine. You can adjust quickly. Go sit in a room for 3 years. You turn the lights back on, you're going to go blind. So the adaption is a real thing, right? And so when you have high glucose levels and you're metabolically adapted, you actually gain weight doing obesity research methods, which is eat less, move more. You have to do the exact opposite of that, at least at first, to change the game. And you've got to become a fat burner again. So you have to be put through a process while all of your hormones come back into alignment. Everything down from leptin, which decides your hunger hormone and how many calories you consume, all the way to thyroid, cortisol, insulin, dopamine, epinephrine, estrogen, all the sex hormones. They all got to go back into alignment, just like when you were 20 years old, 15 years old. And then cortisol has to be right. Once all those things are back in play, guess what? You can now start burning fat again, as long as you don't stress the system out too much. So that's the reality. And what you can see from your hormone layout, and this is, I'm gonna tell you a couple of things about your Dutch test that you're, you know, or don't like. What you'll notice is if you look at your total androgen production, you'll find that you're not making overproducing cortisol, but there's a trick to the Dutch test. If you actually go to page 5, so there's a little sneaky thing about bodies like yours. So high androgen females, androgen dominant females, which is what you are. You are also androgen dominant and estrogen dominant. This is a problem. So your body through the kidneys recycles cortisol into cortisone. So you'll see on page 5 where it gives you your daily free cortisol, but then it also shows you your daily free cortisone. And we always see this in high androgen females. Your cortisone is much higher than your cortisol. That means that you have unrealized stress hormone because your body, so your kidneys, that's why you got to keep water up. That's why like stress will raise some people's blood pressure, right? Because that pressure that comes from the angiotensin pressure from the conversion cortisone, and long story short, vasodilation that comes from it or not, or lack of, and your body converts cortisol into cortisone, but then that cortisone circulates in the body. Free cortisone in the body, 10% of that converts back into cortisol. So what you're not recognizing is that while it looks like your cortisol is mild and moderate, you're actually high because that cortisone's high. And you can see you're spiking in the afternoon there and you're converting a lot of it. So believe it or not, you're actually overproducing. It's a little trick. You're leaning to the high end, which is what I would expect. High cortisol, high stress, estrogen dominance, androgen dominance. So your hormones are so out of whack that you're, when you try to then do you think dieting more and doing more cardio is going to fix that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Excuse whoever else you've had on. They just don't understand what they're saying. I get it. Yeah. In a perfect world, the law of thermodynamics is perfect. Technically, the law is perfect. But you're not reflecting the change in heat release and the efficiency of a system. Machines break down over time, so they get less efficient and in many cases burn less energy, or they get more efficient, which is another way to look at it. So they hold more calories, and then the more imbalanced they get, the more that they hang on to the water and the fat, because you can't even burn into the fat. You're not burning fat. Your sugars are staying high. You're eating protein. Protein raises your blood glucose through a process called neoglucogenesis. Because how am I cutting my calories and doing HIIT cardio? My glucose is still 98. Where's the sugar coming from? Usually sugar reserves come from glycogen in your liver. But once you burn through that, where's the sugar coming from? It's amino acid conversion through your protein. So you are just eating your protein and then putting back on protein. Eating your protein, putting back on protein. Meanwhile, your fat's staying the same. Or going up on occasion when you eat carbs. Because if you're protein adapted and your sugars are going up with protein, guess what happens when you add carbs into the mix? Whoop, weight goes up, especially if you've been under eating for a while. This is the reality of what's going on here. There are a lot of things you can do. Obviously, the other thing that I need to tell you is you need to do an autoimmune panel. I hate to announce this since we're just doing this. This is what happens when you do live or recorded where I can say anything. Sometimes I will say anything. Your alpha and beta progesterone suggest an autoimmune disease. So when they're that far apart, I don't know if you're looking at this with me or whatever.
But yeah.
When you have them, do you see how far on the scale they are, the opposite direction? Whenever mm-hmm. a hormone has metabolites that go the exact opposite directions like that, and you're so 5-alpha heavy, in this case, there's high possibility for an autoimmune disease. So we have an autoimmune, huh?
I'm also on levothyroxine, very low dose. It was functionally more hypo, but very little, like on the border. So we convinced my endocrinologist to give me some of that. It didn't do much for me.
No, it's not where your problem's at. If you fix the other hormone issues, your thyroid won't be so stressed out. Your thyroid's not where energy comes from. We know that, don't we? Right? Like, energy doesn't come from one place. Like, I can't go, hey, right here. This is where energy comes from here, or it comes from here, because here's where your thyroid's at. Or it comes from my shoulder. No, it doesn't. Your cells, every cell in your body makes something called ATP. How you experience energy changes based on stress. So thyroid regulations, cortisol regulations, neurotransmitter regulations, how you experience that energy production. So food is how you produce energy. And if your body can't tap into energy reserves, it's going to come from the food you're eating daily. So that's why food has to go up for a minute. Get your hormones back in place. Then now you've got enough energy, and how you experience energy is balanced. That's how things have to work. And majority of my peers don't understand this yet. But that's okay, because Nutrition Dynamic is the global leader at this point, is going to continue to grow. And eventually we'll get this information out to everybody that needs it, because this is what everyone needs. Most people, if they came to our program, we could make 50% better in 12 days just by doing the exact opposite of what clinical research shows, which is why I'm such a proponent of clinical evidence and not research, clinical evidence over research. Because clinical evidence, meaning in-person activity, you can get smaller populations. I've worked on your case 5,000 times. So what my opinion on like your specific set of conditions is worth five times more than 30 years of data that's collected, that's not adequately representing your population. Does that make sense? That's the problem.
Yeah. So what kind of autoimmune diseases? I don't have Hashimoto's because I checked for that already.
Yeah, it would be more, you'd want to look more tissue-based. So you'd start looking at dsDNA, you would look at RF factor, you would look at overall ANA. You need an ANA. I'm glad you did Hashi, though. Hashi is the number one to always check for. It's the most undiagnosed disease in the world. There's a whole lupus panel we could run, but we wouldn't have to go that far. You can do ANA, RF1, dsDNA, HSCRP. And then if you run that as a panel, just as a quick snapshot, just to make sure nothing's in there, because that can be another reason why you're not getting the results that you want and feel tired. Most people, half of people in the world who have an autoimmune disease don't know they have it, because it's growing over time. So it's something we would want to look at. With that 5-alpha preference, you're going to want to keep track of some blood work. You're going to want to look at insulin, glucose, those kind of things, because you are on the borderline for potentially getting PCOS, adult-induced PCOS. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think we're okay. You've already had children, so that's not going to matter too much. And if it was easy to have children with no problems, you don't fit some of the other diagnostic criteria. Your sleep is absolutely horrendous, meaning that like your melatonin hormone levels are staying very low. I suggest using Liposomal Relax. It's our liposomal melatonin version. Liposomal melatonin, most people take melatonin, it just knocks them out, does crazy stuff to them. You can use a little bit of like a liposomal version and it doesn't do that. It's fantastic. That's what my company makes, New Ethics, my supplement company, New Ethics Formulations. I would start taking that. And it's got GABA in it too, because you can't take oral GABA. Your stomach just doesn't absorb that. So
yeah, I find when I did the test, I had insomnia. I don't know why. I think I had anxiety about taking the test. I don't know.
But again, I don't think you may have gotten anxiety about taking the test. But the reality is that you're always a little tense. You're always a little stressed. You just don't notice it on a day-to-day basis. That's your norm, to be tense and stressed out.
Yes, so, probably.
So that's still there. It just was worse on that day. It doesn't mean you had one day of anxiety. People who get one day of anxiety, they have more than that. But you'll notice that your dopamine and norepinephrine levels are low too. So you're burnt out. So you're actually tired and wired. And so what that means is that you need some neurotransmitter support would be very beneficial. B vitamins, somewhat okay. So what I recommend for people that are low dopamine, I recommend pulsing like L-Dopa. So L-Dopa is a really good product. You dose 3 servings of L-Dopa for 4 days out of the week, and you'll notice better focus and attention. Keto salts are really good for that as well, like pre-workout. So those are some great options. Mediterranean-based dieting right now, there's so much more we could discuss, but the reality is you got to get your hormones in balance, and a Dutch test helps us sort through all that and get you on the right track. And then you got to change like your eating, and there's processes for that, but you'll check your glucose and you're going to find it's high.
So I've checked it and it's always been low. For example, I'll eat rice, chicken and maybe salad. And then I'll check my blood glucose and it'll be really good. And my husband's like, how is this possible? You ate all that rice.
What does that mean, really good? And when do you test?
I don't remember the exact numbers, but he does functional medicine. He's just starting and he's just like shocked. And then I'll eat a potato and then it'll go sky high.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the difference between a potato and depending on what's in that potato and the inflammation that it caused, you could be having some food sensitivities. As they do when you're eating it, what your proportions were, and your glucose will do that throughout the day. One meal doesn't do it. You've got to do a specialized testing where you look at glucose throughout the day, 2 hours after every meal, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. It's always there. I don't miss.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't miss. This was great. I hope it was really informative for your followers. I hope this really helps them understand. And hopefully you'll put your Dutch test up because I don't know.
Yes,
so they can see it maybe on your screen as you're going through it. And I think some of these keys will really help you just highlight.
So I'd love to have you back another day to talk about other issues that I don't have. Endometriosis is another one a lot of people
huge,
have.
Well, that's where this comes into play back in those androgens again. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So endometriosis has high androgens?
Huh?
Endometriosis has high androgens?
Typically, yeah.
Really? I thought it was just estrogen.
No. So the estrogen's usually already modified low. So any variations that go up a little bit or down a little bit affect endometriosis because it's so sensitive to it. But it's an androgen-based condition. So if you did a Dutch test on all endos, they're high.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can get a Dutch test from one of... Oh, you have a bunch, right? Could you like bring on maybe an example from someone with endometriosis? Because I'd love to...
Yeah.
See how that's different.
Get their approval, not a problem. Absolutely.
You don't have to say their name.
Got it. We just have to blank them out on the screen or something if you're going to show it. Yeah, no, this is great. This is wonderful. Excellent.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. And I'm going to put everything in the show notes. And you have a podcast out now. What is it called?
Yes, E3 Podcast with Biggest Loser coach Erica Fitlove, who's also now moving over to TLC. And it's an inspiring podcast about all things health. And then you can also check out, I do long form content on both YouTube and Instagram. And hopefully you guys can get more educated as science moves along from our clinical expertise. So we're here to help change your life, change the industry. So come along for the ride for anybody that's listening.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Awesome. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the show. Please show your support for the podcast by leaving a 5-star review. Learn more about the show and what I have to offer you at catkatibi.com. Consider being a part of the new Patreon, where episodes are ad-free and you'll find extra bonus content. Send a voicemail question or email me. Check the show notes for more information. I had an episode a while back with Dr. Mona Fahoum of Feminescence, and we spoke about Feminescence, Maca Harmony, and their Maca products. And if you're a woman who's ever had hormonal imbalances, if you're trying to come off the birth control pill, or even if you're going through menopause, this is a natural way to help ease that transition and to help balance your hormones. There's nothing quite like it, so go to feminescence.com, enter code CAT15, KAT15, for 15% off any of their single pack products. And definitely go check out the episode. Just search for Mona Fahoum on my podcast and listen. You won't regret it.
This podcast is for informational merrymakings and metaphysical purposes only. Statements and views are not medical advice. This podcast, including CatKatibi, disclaim any adverse effects by the use of information you may have heard. Opinions of guests are totally their own. This podcast does not endorse statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications, credibilities, or sanity. Individuals may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to on the podcast. If you think you have a medical problem, consult with a licensed medical physician, not just the spirit of your ancestors while on ayahuasca.